Today we are continuing our Lenten series, Encounters with Jesus, and the encounter we will look at today involves Jesus and 10 lepers. It's a story I'm sure you've heard before, and it's one we often hear around Thanksgiving because of this one leper who returns to give thanks to Jesus for his healing touch. I've entitled the message, A Thankful Foreigner. A Thankful Foreigner, as you will see, it is because of this one leper who returned to thank Jesus. But there's a whole lot more in this story that I hope to unpack for you today of just how much this encounter with Jesus impacted this thankful foreigner. So our text is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, for a message entitled, A Thankful Foreigner. Hear now the Word of God. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. When the gospel writer Luke writes his account of Jesus' life, he's very intentional about portraying Jesus as one who encounters people from all walks of life and one who encounters people with all kinds, it seems like, illnesses or ailments as well. Today we see 10 people who had leprosy, and leprosy is a contagious bacterial infection that spread from coughing or sneezing, which meant that almost always, if you had leprosy, you were essentially quarantined for the rest of your life. We meet these 10 lepers as Jesus is actually traveling on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross, and he decides to take a shortcut. And the shortcut brought him through some Gentile towns. These were towns that were in the region of Samaria, and they were sort of odd villages. And today we see him passing what was no doubt a leper colony, where lepers were isolated and where they lived and did not interact with society. If you haven't caught it yet through reading the Gospels, Jesus regularly sought out people who were seen as the least of the people in his day. And he sought them out to show them that God loves them. That even a leper, someone who's been ostracized from society, is loved by God. There's an interesting point that we quickly overlook that's in the beginning of this story. And that point involves Jesus and his disciples. And the point is this. That the closer we are to Jesus, the more he will push us out of our comfort zones. The closer you get to Jesus, the more he's going to push you out of your comfort zones. The disciples were constantly grumbling to Jesus about spending time with tax collectors and with Gentiles, and especially the Samaritans. They hated spending time with them. No one wanted to spend time with lepers, and here is Jesus seemingly seeking them out. If we are growing closer to Jesus, he will move our hearts to reach those who many consider unlovely. By Luke 17, Jesus' fame had been spreading so widely that even the leper colonies knew that this man could heal the sick. He could make the dead come back to life, make the lame to walk again, bring sight to the blind. A first century leper would be confined to living with other lepers in leper colonies because of their affliction. Most people back then assumed that leprosy was some sort of flesh-eating skin disease, which caused their body parts to fall off. But those were simply the symptoms of what was going on. What was really happening was that leprosy caused nerve damage, so that the nerves didn't send signals to the brain to do their job. You couldn't feel pain, and so someone with leprosy would be numb to things like fire or boiling water. And leprosy had been around for 600 years before Jesus even appeared. It traces back to India and China and Egypt. And for many centuries, leprosy was considered a curse of God. That if you had leprosy, then God had cursed you for some reason, something in your life. It did not kill, but it did not ever seem to end as well. It lingered for years, and it caused the tissues to degenerate, and as the disease took its toll. It's better classified, though, as a disease of the nervous system, because the leprosy bacterium attacked the nerves and eventually affected the tissue. Jesus, though, freely touched people with leprosy. And while people with leprosy traditionally suffered banishment from family and neighbors, Jesus seemed to break that tradition. He had no problem touching someone who had leprosy. Everyone else would keep their distance from them, but not Jesus. And although we can't know all the reasons that God allows diseases in our lives, biblical leprosy is really a powerful reminder of what sin does in our lives. How sin affects us, and how it might seem insignificant in the beginning, but how it continues to affect us to the point it causes great damage in our relationship with God and others. And so Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he's in a Gentile area, and he's passing this leper colony, and the disciples are scratching their head thinking, why are we here? Why are we here? This is not where we belong, but it's exactly where Jesus needed to be. Friends, the closer you are to Jesus, the more he's going to push you out of your comfort zones. And the disciples, they were well outside their comfort zones. In the summer of 1996, I did a pastoral internship at the Middletown First Church of God. And Pastor William Rice, who just passed away about a month ago, was the senior pastor there and a wonderful man of God. I learned so much in my summer internship under him. And I remember one day he came to me and said, come on, we have a visit to make. And so we were off to the hospital. We went to visit a young man who was at the end of his life. His family had gathered around. He was a skeleton. His eyes were sunken. His cheeks were hollow. He was just holding on. And I watched Pastor Bill minister to this family as they were saying goodbye to their son and to their brother who was dying of AIDS. And he was tremendous in ministering to him. And I'm just standing there watching, observing with my jaw hanging open because I was well outside my comfort zones. But Pastor Bill was just like Jesus. He went in there and he cared for this family and for their loved one at the end of life. And I remember thinking of that moment many times since, saying, you know what, if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be like, you have to be like Pastor Bill, and you're going to be in situations that are well outside your comfort zone. And you need to be like Jesus in those moments and show love and compassion and grace and mercy, and care for people just like Jesus did. That moment was nearly 30 years ago, and I still remember it very clearly. The closer we are to Jesus, the more he's going to push us outside our comfort zones. Verse 13 says, they stood at a distance and cried out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. These 10 were determined to not let Jesus pass by. And our next point is this, the 10 lepers were determined to not miss Jesus. They were not going to allow him to get by. He was their only hope. And all they said was six words. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, friends, it really doesn't take a long prayer with fancy words to reach the ears of Jesus. Six words. That's all they said. Six words. And Jesus had their attention. There were no deals that were struck. There were no vows that were made. Jesus, have mercy on us. What exactly were they hoping for? Were they looking for a handout from Jesus? What were they looking for? Did they simply want to talk to him? No, I'm pretty sure they wanted to be healed. When you have leprosy, that is your dream every day. You talk about dreaming big. If you have leprosy, that's what you dream big about, that you would be healed. And of course, they had heard about Jesus. They had heard of the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the blind seeing. So if anybody could do anything for them, it had to be Jesus. If he could do those miracles, then maybe, just maybe, he could do something for them. And just like blind Bartimaeus, who we talked about a few weeks ago, they used what they had, which was their voice, to cry out to Jesus. Notice how Jesus responds. There is no small talk, no question of, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew their hearts. In verse 14, he says, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. The point we want to make is this. The 10 lepers encountered Jesus, and they were healed. Notice that Jesus didn't touch them here. He simply saw them and said, you are healed. And in fact, he tells them, go show yourselves to the priests. And the priests were responsible for determining if someone who had leprosy was indeed healed. They were the ones who could make that determination. And so as these 10 went, it says they were healed, they were cleansed. And I suspect they went rather quickly to get to the priest. And when they got to the priest, they wouldn't go in as a group and say, hey, by the way, we've been healed. Can you, verify that? They would have to go in one by one. So each one would have to go into the priest and make their case that indeed they were healed. It's interesting that the text says that as they went, they were healed. So as they are making their way to the priest, things are changing on their bodies. The tissue that was, misformed or failing suddenly had strength and color and vitality. The pain that they had known had seemingly gone. And I suspect as they improved with each step, they probably moved a little bit quicker to get to the priest to show them that indeed Jesus had healed them. How many years had they lived with this dreaded disease? How many times had they thought, could someone have mercy or pity on us and help us? Verse 15 tells us that after they went to the priest and were cleansed, that only one, after realizing he had been healed, came back to Jesus. And the point is this: an encounter with Jesus should lead to profound gratitude. An encounter with Jesus should lead to profound gratitude. And for one of these 10 lepers who were healed, it certainly did. Notice what the text says. He came back praising God in a loud voice. He came back and threw himself at the feet of Jesus, thanking him and praising him for healing him. How many years had he lived with that dreaded disease? How many years did he live as someone who was not touched? There is no evidence, again, that Jesus touched him to heal him, but he was indeed cured. The leprosy was gone, and his heart was overflowing with thanksgiving. And when he gets back to Jesus, he can just picture him full of excitement, full of joy, throwing himself at the feet of Jesus with words of thank you for healing me. How about you? Are you profoundly thankful for what Jesus has done for you? You know, this story is so similar to salvation. We who are dead in our sins and trespasses, we cannot do anything to save ourselves. And just like the lepers, they couldn't do anything to heal themselves. And yet when they cry out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us, what did he do? He heals them. He heals them physically of this dreaded disease that they had. Just like when we cry out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, he heals us, frees us from sin in our lives, the consequences of that sin. But do we thank him? Are we profoundly thankful like the leper in Luke chapter 17 for what Christ has done for us? Jesus seems surprised. He seems surprised that only one came back to thank him. And he says as much. He says, we're not all 10 cleansed. Why is there only one coming back to thank me? And this one is even a foreigner. Where are the other 9, he wonders. Where are the other nine? This encounter with Jesus made this leper a thankful foreigner who praised God for his deliverance. How do you praise God for your deliverance? How do you praise God for your deliverance? Think about that. There's one last point we need to make. And Jesus may be disappointed that the other nine didn't return to say thank you, but he did something more for the thankful foreigner in verse 19. Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." The point is this: Jesus saved the thankful foreigner because of his faith. All 10 were healed. They're all 10 healed physically of their disease, but only one was healed spiritually. It was the thankful foreigner. The healing of the 10 lepers is a real story. It's also a real life parable about how so many people miss Jesus right in front of them, like so many in our world today. We can miss the truth that we have a spiritual disease and there is indeed a cure. But like so many, we try to focus on the wrong things, thinking those are the cures. When the cure, of course, is Jesus and his shed blood at Calvary's cross. I want you to suppose for a moment that you were able to sit down with the 10 lepers about 1 year after they were healed. And you get down to sit with them and you have sort of a conversation with them. And suppose you ask them, "What is the greatest day of your life?" I think all would agree, all 10 would pick that same exact date, the date that they were healed. But the next question is where we might get some disagreement if we ask them why. As you read through the story, it would be evident that 9 of them who didn't return would say, "Well, that was the day I was healed from my leprosy. That's the greatest day in my life." Changed my life forever. I had my life back again. I could greet people. I wasn't ostracized from society. I was no longer an outcast. I was only looking forward to death. Now I was looking forward to living again, being back with my family. But when we would interview the 10th, his answer might be different. The greatest day of his life was the day he met the man who could also heal his spiritual leprosy. He thanked and worshiped Jesus, and afterward Jesus said, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." He was healed twice. Once from his leprosy, and once from his spiritual leprosy. The thankful foreigner was wonderfully saved. A day I'm sure he would never forget. You see, friends, the greatest day that we will ever have is the day that we encounter Jesus Christ. The day that we recognize that he alone can save us from our sins and from death. That he alone is the Savior who can take away the sin of the world. Jesus gives us his Spirit who dwells in us and helps us to desire those things which are good. And his blood alone can cure us from the true sickness that infects us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." You know, I think it's rather fitting that we have talked about the crown of thorns here today and how the blood came from the scalp of Jesus as that crown of thorns was pressed down upon him. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we indeed are healed. 10 lepers were healed, but only one leper heard the words from Jesus, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Only the thankful foreigner had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. You know, this story is often shared at Thanksgiving because of the leper's return to thank Jesus for his healing, but there's so much more to this story. This story is a powerful reminder that a life-changing encounter with Jesus is what every human soul needs. It needs to be the greatest day in our life. Let me close with this. George Jones began his career back in the 1950s, and for decades he enjoyed great success professionally. He was one of country music's biggest stars in the 60s and 70s. But George Jones's life was a mess. And it's been well documented that he had great struggles personally. He suffered from alcoholism and a cocaine addiction. And by February 1979, he was homeless, deranged, and destitute. He lived in his car and was in pitiful shape physically. In 1981, he met Nancy Sepulveda, who would eventually become his wife. She had a very positive impact on Jones's life and career, and she eventually cleaned up his finances, kept him away from his drug dealers, and managed his career. George Jones will be the first to tell you that Nancy changed and ultimately saved his life. But there still was something missing in his life. And in 1996, George Jones had a tragic car accident. It took the fire responders almost 2 hours to get him out. He was in a coma for over a week. And when he woke up, he asked to see Vestal Goodman, from the gospel singer from the Happy Goodmans, who he had met several months earlier. And little did he know that Vestal had been praying for him, even before the accident. Vestal was instrumental in leading the country music legend to faith in Jesus Christ. And until his death, there was a visible difference in his life. But it wasn't because of Nancy Sepulveda, his wife, or because of Vestal Goodman. George Jones's life was changed because he had met Jesus. A life-changing encounter with Jesus. Friends, let me ask you, have you had that encounter? Have you had that moment? Are you the one that comes back and is thankful to Jesus for what he has done for you? What do you do to celebrate the deliverance God has given to you? Are you living your life in praise and thanksgiving for what Christ has done for you? 10 lepers were cleansed, healed, but only one became whole. 90% of them received a small portion of the blessings they could have had, but only one received them all. Full salvation. You see, friends, Jesus wants to do more than just clean us up and bless us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to make us complete. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus." So I don't know why you came to church today, but I know why Jesus does. Jesus wants to make us whole. He not only cleanses us from sin, but he is in the process of making us completely acceptable to God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the 9 lepers who bolted. I want to be like the one who came back to Jesus, threw himself at the feet of Jesus, and said over and over again, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you for doing for me what no one else could do. Thank you for forgiving my sins, for rebuilding me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole." To the praise of his glory, amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you indeed save our soul. And that we need to have profound thanksgiving for what you have done for us through Jesus' atoning death at the cross of Calvary. May we be like the one, the thankful foreigner, who came back and threw himself at the feet of Jesus, praising and thanking him for what he had done, and received the good news that his sins were indeed forgiven, that he was made whole. Father, make us whole today. Make us whole and complete in Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that day, that moment, that life-changing encounter we had with Jesus. And remind us always that you will continue to be with us and lead us many times outside of our own comfort zones as we seek to share the good news of Jesus to a world that needs to know. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the example of the thankful foreigner. Might we be thankful today. In Jesus' name, amen.